And we are live on Facebook. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins here on Augusta Free Press. A little later start than anticipated. Technology issues. Hey, technology issues all over the place. NASA can't get a space shuttle into space today. NASCAR may have some issues, not with technology as much as perhaps with rain. But Rod, as we're approaching the 6 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock scheduled start tonight for the race in Charlotte. And it looks like it's on for now.
As of right now, it looks like it's on for 8 o'clock, an 8 o'clock start. But, of course, we're still talking about weather. Tropical Storm Bertha made landfall early this morning around Charleston, and the track has it going right up through Charlotte into around the Blacksburg area through that part of Western Virginia. So, you know, we're going to probably see some rain out of it. I'm sure Charlotte's going to see some rain out of it as well. But it'll be one of those things that'll be called probably right – probably give or take, depending on the radar. It'll probably be, if it is called, it'll probably be called a little bit before 8 o'clock. They may try to do it. I know how stubborn they can be sometimes. They want to try to get a race in and try to do as much as they can.
Yeah, and I looked at the forecast for tomorrow. If they can't get it in tonight, the forecast for tomorrow looks pretty good after, over the overnight hours. What would that mean for the weekend, though? If they had to go tomorrow, what kind of impact could that have on the weekend for NASCAR?
It'll just be a quicker move is what they'll have to do. I foresee them, if they have to postpone it, they will race, of course, tomorrow, if that's what happens. And then most of the teams are right there in the Charlotte area. They don't have to worry about a lot of scrambling. They'll probably have their short track cars already and the programs already ready to go. And so they'll be ready to move out. All they have to do is just get that car, get it back. If they have to do some adjustments, they'll do it what they can. And then head out. Of course, everybody will be piling in, probably getting there on Friday evening, at least to the start of Saturday morning, because the Xfinity race will start on Saturday, and then we'll go on into Sunday with the Food City race, Food City 500 race, which has had a name change for this weekend in salute to the what they call the supermarket heroes of Food City and what they've been doing since this pandemic hit. So they'll have enough time to do it. It'll be cutting it close, but they'll be able to do it.
Yeah. In Bristol, we should say that for those who, it's in Bristol this weekend. So your usual stomping grounds down in Southwest Virginia. So let's look back. We there's so much going on in NASCAR because we're doubling up on the races that we haven't talked since this past weekend, 600, the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte, Brad Keselowski with the win. What's the fallout from that? Big win for Keselowski, obviously. So take us into that race and how things went down.
Well, actually, I think what happened more for anybody else, it was a big crucial blow to Denny Hamlin at the beginning of the race. When that, when those tungsten weights came out from underneath that FedEx car, it put him down early and it shot whatever chance he had of being able to continue that momentum from the Darlington race, and it did put him down. Even though he was in the number one slot there on pit road, it didn't help him any. I mean, he was already put behind, and then in the meantime, we found out, I think about the first part of the week, Monday or Tuesday, we found out that the crew members are going to be fined. Four of them are going to be fined. They are not going to be allowed to be at any of four races, I think, coming up. So we'll be talking this one tonight. We'll be talking the Bristol race on Sunday. And then, of course, as they move forward into the month of June. So that was a pretty big blow to Joe Gibbs Racing. The team did not do as well this past weekend. Kyle Busch did make a run toward the end of the race, but he had troubles during most of the race. Probably the best driver of the night was Martin Truex Jr. He had probably one of the better performances for Joe Gibbs. But you can't really rule out how good of a race it was for Brad Keselowski. I mean, he hung around there at the front. He took his chances, did what he had to do. Team Penske actually did pretty well. I thought Joey Logano was going to at least finish maybe with a win or top five, but a speeding penalty off pit road cost him, put him back to 19th. He was able to get back to the front of the pack there pretty close to the end of the race. But I think probably more than anything else, Brad Keselowski kind of increased his stock a little bit more with this win this past weekend. And when he won this race, he has now made himself a little bit more of a valuable commodity when it comes to negotiation time, because he's in the last year of a contract with Penske Racing. and he's looking to go somewhere. Of course, I'm sure Roger Penske would like to keep him. He's overall the winningest driver in Penske Racing, at least in the NASCAR stable. So they'd like to keep him there. But I don't know. Brad Keselowski may be looking for a better opportunity. A lot of rumor going around this weekend that Hendrick Motorsports might be interested in him. Who knows? They might be looking to get someone, I don't know, probably more than anything, to fill that spot that Jimmy Johnson's going to leave at the end of the season.
How much did the length of the race, 600 miles, and the later start, you know, I think we were scheduled for an earlier start, we had rain issues last mm-hmm. Sunday as well. It went past midnight, just a little bit past midnight,
right,
the conclusion of the race. How much did that factor in, you know, because I know, I guess last week, we also had rain in Darlington in the midweek uh-huh. race last week, and FS1 played a documentary about the 600 and how grueling mm-hmm. it has always been on the drivers. It made me think, one, I mean, that was back when you race once a week, and now you're doubling up on races and you're having delays and all this going on. How much do you think that the length of the race and the timing and everything else maybe played a factor in how things played out?
I think it played a big factor in some of those things. You've got some of these guys that are really physically prepared and they're ready to go with some of these races. But, you know, after a while, if you have a delay and then you have the threat of rain coming back in, the mind starts to play tricks on you before it's over with. It either plays tricks with the crew chiefs or with the drivers. And I guess where I'm going with that one is Chase Elliott there toward the end of the race. A lot of people are still questioning whether or not Chase Elliott should have made that stop right there with about two or three laps left to go in the race, but he had to. This was one of those things of where the best way it was described during the race was, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you don't take a pit stop, you're going to go and you could possibly be the wreck out there that happens because your tires aren't good enough or you run out of fuel. And Chase Elliott pulls in, gets the splash of fuel, gets tires, gets back out onto the track, and he's able to go and pull out a top finish out of that. But, you know, a lot of embarrassment kind of come with that too, because there were a lot of people asking the question, why did you pit? And it goes back to that same thing. And I think Larry McReynolds put it plain and simple. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't in that situation.
Speaking of Chase Elliott, I got to bring up what else happened in Charlotte, the Truck Series race.
Right.
Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch coming down to the wire there. And the $100,000 bounty that was put up, Kevin Harvick started it.
Mm-hmm.
And Gander RV and Outdoors gave the other half of this $100,000 bounty. Basically, Kevin Harvick saying any regular on the Cup Series that could beat Kyle Busch in the truck race collect this bounty and actually go to charity. But Chase Elliott gets the win, and then maybe rubs a little salt in the wounds there for Kyle Busch. Talk about that.
Well, I think it's a little bit of salt rubbed in the wound there. Of course, he didn't win or didn't finish as well as he hoped in the Coke 600 the other night. Kyle Busch comes back and wins the Xfinity race right after that. And so Chase Elliott didn't run in that race, but here he was getting back in the truck for the first time since I think the 2017 season. And so he gets into the truck. And, you know, he's got a good truck put underneath him. And there was some great racing going on in that Truck Series race last night. But I tell you, when Chase Elliott pulled in and he won that race, yeah, he rubbed a little bit of salt in that wound, I think. And he did it in an indirect way. They claim now that they have made up after all this stuff. After everything happened, they are talking. Proof of that was at the end of the 600 the other night when Kyle Busch came over and started talking to Chase Elliott there toward the end of the race. And both of them had masks off. And a lot of people started saying, wait a minute here, we're going to have some controversy besides Denny Hamlin's team being penalized and possibly sanctioned for four races. Here you've got Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott there talking to each other with no mask in violation of the 6-foot rule of being there close to each other and talking. And it could be anywhere from a $10,000 to $50,000 fine. NASCAR said, to heck with this. We're not going to fool with this. We're not going to enforce it. And it was a friendly exchange between the two of them. But somewhere in Chase Elliott's mind, Chase Elliott has it. He's not going to go and deliberately ram Kyle Busch this season. He's not going to go and get up behind him and then just spin him around as he has been done before by Denny Hamlin and some of them. I think he's going to do the things that probably his dad can advise him on a little bit better. That's what Dale Earnhardt used to do, and that is rattle their cage just a little bit. Get up around them, make them at least make the mistake to where they slip up and then something happens to them. He doesn't want to be the one that dishes that out and then, you know, ruins that reputation of being one of the most popular drivers.
He took the bow after the win, and that was and Kyle Busch said afterwards, oh, no, it's not a big deal. But the way he said it, it sounded like it was something there. Heck, it's NASCAR. There's supposed to be something there.
That's right.
So we're looking forward to tonight. Now, tonight, we were 600 miles on Sunday. Tonight, what's the length tonight?
500K. So it's roughly about 318 miles. And when it translates out from that great metric system over to the English system, so about 318 miles is what it translates out to be. So,
we'll look ahead to Bristol this weekend. Obviously, we either will have a race tonight or we'll have it tomorrow in Charlotte. And you mentioned that, you know, the teams have to now be thinking differently. You know, they've been racing on, you know, this will be the second 1.5 mile oval in a row. But Bristol's a different beast. You have to have a different car ready, everything set up, and you've got to do it in short time. So take us into the preparations for getting ready for this weekend.
I think Martin Truex probably put it the best, that Bristol was like engaging in a boxing match in an elevator. That's what it's like. You're beating and banging on each other so much, and you have a confined area. And, I mean, we're talking a half-mile track. We're talking at speeds at well over 120, maybe up to about 130 miles an hour on the straightaways. You have to put some brakes on and lift off the fuel as you go into the turns. The concrete, of course, it's a little bit different than what it used to be. People used to say there was it was a 3 and 4 groove track of where you could get up through there and you could lean very close to the wall as you were going into the turns. And they shaved that off here several years ago. And a lot of people felt like that racing has kind of been reduced, but I think they brought it back. I don't think you've got the four groove track that you used to have there at Bristol. I think you've probably got about 2 and 3 groove, and that's what makes it tighter. And that's where you're plunging into that turn one, you're coming out of turn one, going into turn two, you're fighting for position everywhere you can. And it's sort of like jet fighters in a gym, as Sterling Marlin put it one time too. You're just racing around through there as hard as you can. And it's survival of the fittest. I mean, why else would they call it the last great Coliseum? Because that's what it is. It's almost a battle to the death there in the track and hoping you've got enough car left to be able to win the race.
And you'd love to have a full week to prep for that. You don't have that in this environment. So that's and making this transition. And they haven't raced there this year. So it's your first race in Bristol and in that environment. I mean, if you're a veteran, you know what you need to do, but still knowing what you need to do and then having the ability to bring that off in short time, I'm sure is a big challenge for these guys.
Yeah, and these guys are going to be in another situation different than what they were at Charlotte. You know, they're going to be going with a more set starting order tonight in this one race that they've got coming up. But they actually had a chance to qualify on Sunday. They won't have that chance at Bristol coming up this weekend. It will be another one of those draws of where you're going to be placed at and where you're going to go. If you place there at the front of the pack and you do well, it could be good for you. But if you end up in a situation like, well, Brad Keselowski ended up having to go to the back of the pack at the Coca-Cola 600, you know, but he managed to get himself up through the field like he did in order to win the race. At Bristol, it's a lot harder. And if you end up being able to be on the front stretch and be able to pit, you're okay. But if you're on the back stretch back there, it's much harder to stay into the race like it is at some of the other tracks, because you know, they're already around you in another lap by the time that you're ready to come out of pit road there in the back, and they've already got a lap on you, or almost three-fourths of a lap there on you as you're coming back out. So it's tough. I mean, it's Bristol is a test for everybody, crews, the driver. I know some people are looking very forward to going to Bristol, and Joey Logano said he was looking forward to going to Bristol. I know Jimmy Johnson would like to go back to Bristol and pull off a win. I think the first year that I did coverage for you for the Augusta Free Press, Jimmy Johnson pulled off a win down there, and it was a great win. But he's got an entirely different situation than what he had here several years ago.
Hey, you brought up Jimmy Johnson. I was going to go somewhere else, but you brought up Jimmy Johnson. You sent something to me when you sent the story Monday morning because it ended so late Sunday night.
Right.
I wasn't aware until actually I saw your email. Jimmy Johnson disqualified after the race. What happened there?
Well, basically what happened was there was something wrong with the car in post-race inspection, and NASCAR is living up to this thing now. Used to, it was one of those things, let them have the win. You know, we may deduct them some points and things like that, but they look at this whole thing now, we're going to hit you where it hurts. If you don't have the car set up, if something is just the least little bit wrong in the car set up, once you pull in for post-race inspection, and those lasers don't pick it up, and there's just a little bit of a size, or, you know, maybe a lift problem there on top of the hood or something like that, that's in violation of the rules. I mean, even though I know your car is going to be bent in on the sides and from being beat to death, but if there's one thing, if that car doesn't sit properly when it comes into post-race inspection, they'll flag it immediately. And that's what happened. I was surprised out of that too, but post-race inspection, sometimes it goes pretty quick, and then sometimes it can go slow. And that's what surprised me, because when I had packed up and I had got ready and headed off to bed after Brad Keselowski won the race, I thought, nothing else is really taking place out of this. And then I get an email from a friend of mine who's a big race car driver, fan of Bill Elliott and Chase Elliott. He says, hey, Jimmy Johnson got penalized. He got disqualified from the race. And I had to look it up. It was a surprise to me, but this also goes to show you NASCAR is not going to hold back any punches when it comes to penalizing and punishing people if they violate the rules.
So last question, as we're waiting to, we're at 6:14 now as we're talking here live, looking towards an 8 o'clock start. We're going to hope that's the case. Last question is going to be just about how normal it feels. And I'll say it feels, it's starting to feel normal to me. We're having rain delays. I can't remember who it was, but someone who got knocked out late stood there on the side of the track and gave the middle finger to the guy driving by. That felt normal. I mean,
yeah.
It's feeling like, I mean, you know, it's feeling like a normal – it's starting to feel like a normal NASCAR season. That's my impression. I want yours, Rod, on that.
Yeah, I think it's getting there. It's certainly not maybe at the fever pitch it will get to by the time we roll into August and September by playoff time, but – it's starting. I mean, we're starting to see a little bit of the feuds. We're starting to see a little bit of the problems that you have with some other drivers out there on the track. You know, Ricky Stenhouse has been one of those that last year was one of those early on that he got a lot of pain out of this whole thing inflicted on him because he was running over people out on the track, but he was trying to prove, I want to keep a ride is what I want to be able to do. And he ended up losing his ride with Roush Fenway. And then you've got the saga that's kind of went on with Ryan Newman. I think everybody's kind of cheering for Ryan Newman right now and hoping that he's able to get back into it and get back into the winner's circle. The same thing for Matt Kenseth. Both of them have come into situations, and you're still kind of left scratching your head out there wondering what's going to happen to Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson came away with a big World of Outlaws win the other night, a $20,000 purse. And one of the comments that he made was, you know, they asked him, they said, are you going to be back into the circuit or back into the sport before it's over with? He says, I don't know. I kind of like the way that my back is being looked after here in the World of Outlaws. They've got my back. And that kind of surprised me hearing that because I wasn't really sure. I'm like, is this kind of a slap at NASCAR? Was NASCAR not looking out for you? Because this is something that you did. This is something that you said, and it wasn't during the regular NASCAR season, but you know, there may be some bitterness there. I don't know, but at least we know that Kyle Larson has been as successful or even more successful since going to the World of Outlaws with that big win over the weekend.
Well, I just checked Twitter. I still see nothing official. So I see one speculation that we'll get a delayed start, another that we'll at least race tomorrow. It rained off and on in the Charlotte area. So, Rod, do you have anything else on that as we're wrapping up here?
I think that they'll try to do as much as they can to get this race started, and at least if they can get to halfway, and I know it's going to be a late start, an 8 o'clock start, but if they can try to get as much as, you know, that first 150 so laps in, if they can get to that halfway point and they can get it in between showers and thunderstorms and they've got the air tighten system out there, they'll do what they have to do because – they really want to get this race in because this replaces one of the other races that's missing off the schedule, and they really want to get to Bristol and get that out of the way. And so you're going to have Bristol, and then you're going to have coming into Martinsville here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a busy time for them.
We need some dry weather is what we need. We need these storms that we do need. These tropical storms need to go away for a while as we're trying to get caught back up here.
Right.
Well, Rod, could be another, probably will be another late night for us here as we're keeping up with NASCAR. But thank you for your coverage of this, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.